Like all little girls should, when I was 13, I fell in love with a boy next door. His name was Leonard. On the day he moved in, I happened to be sitting on the high red brick wall that fronted our suburban house in Johannesburg, and I watched as an old battered blue van, its rear doors barely held together by an inadequate rope against the push of domestic paraphernalia, struggled its way along the hot tarmac road and groaned to a halt outside the unoccupied house next door. A boy of about 15 threw open the passenger door and levered himself onto the ground. His left leg was encased in a large plaster cast, and he pulled a pair of steel crutches after him. Noticing me, he tucked the crutches firmly under his armpits and, chortling with glee, proceeded to use them as stilts, taking giant strides up the gravel path at the side of the house and back again, sending the small, sharp stones spraying in all directions. "Stop that, Leonard!" A large woman climbed down awkwardly from the van. "Go inside and open the windows. Here, come and get the key." Ignoring her, he continued his performance, showing off, I decided, for my benefit. And indeed, I was duly impressed. There was no doubting his skill. By now the driver, a short, paunchy man with a balding head, was tugging at the rope. "Never mind the keys," he called irritably. "Get over here, Leonard, and give me a hand." The boy skidded to a halt just below me and looked up. "That's me," he drawled. "Leonard." "I'm Elsa," I replied. He smiled a slow, lopsided smile, and for some reason my heart lurched. "Well, I'll be seeing you, Elsa." And the way he said my name, drawing out each syllable, made me catch my breath. It was love at first sight. For the next week or so, after school, I made a point of hanging around outside the house hoping to see him. And at first we met up seemingly by chance, and soon by choice. I would perch on the wall, and he would sit astride the wooden gate at the end of the gravel path, balancing a crutch on the ground to keep him steady. Later, when the plaster cast was removed and my first shyness had evaporated, he would sit on the wall beside me under the bluest of African skies, and it wasn't long before we were confiding in one another. Leonard told me he was the only child of a loveless marriage. He adored his Catholic mother, whom he considered his best friend, and he hated his father, a Jewish travelling salesman with a sour disposition and a quick temper. Leonard's mother feared him, as did Leonard himself, and the atmosphere when he was around was uneasy. "He doesn't hit you, does he?" I asked. "He used to, but he doesn't any more. I'm too quick for him," he said, and he smiled his wicked, lopsided smile. It soon became clear that his father was seldom at home, and I could always tell when he was there, because the curtains, usually left open, would be closed, and the house seemed to turn in on itself. As time went by, I looked forward more and more to being with Leonard. I would watch out for him coming home, listening for his footsteps on the gravel path, and then stroll out nonchalantly for a chat. Leonard was tall and lanky and mature for his age. He had a slow way of speaking, a sort of drawl that intrigued and thrilled me. He would pause mid-sentence, give an odd little chuckle, and then continue. I loved his crinkly blonde hair and the two pointy lower teeth that only showed when he smiled, giving him a slightly demonic look. And I loved the curious way his little fingers curved inwards. Leonard had a best friend called Ian, a wiry lad with a shock of ginger hair and a raucous laugh. He often came home with Leonard after school when his father was away, and when he did, much to my chagrin, I would be given a peremptory wave as they headed inside the house, and soon some current popular record or other would blare out through the open sitting room window. His mother didn't seem to mind the racket, even though these sessions often continued late into the night, and I discovered that by standing on a stool pulled up to the bathroom window, I could see into the brightly lit sitting room next door. I would spy on them as they jigged about in some sort of demented dance, or swilled cans of beer as they lolled on the bulky old sofa. I positively ached to join them, but all I could do was watch and worship.